Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. We're coming at you from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. This show is a convergence of Mast Media and Laser Lute Air Student Radio. I am your host. My name is Christian Bond. Joining me in studio is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you today, man?
Oh, you know, great day. Early class. Me and Christian have that 8 a.m. class together. I have to do that student athlete portion, and Christian has to do that half athlete student portion.
Oh, you saw it today, though.
Yeah, we saw the half athlete today. Christian had a wonderful showing in co-ed basketball, which we are also in together. Hit that buzzer beater. He was like the dude perfect stereotype today. Yeah, miss every three-pointer okay. except for the game winner.
Okay, you weren't even watching my game. How do you know?
Because that's what every one of your teammates said as you walked off the floor.
No, she wasn't right.
But hey, that was a great shot. It's been a fun week, actually. You know, PLU sports here, spring sports, coming to a head. And, you know, it's going to be a – you know, got the all-sports dessert next Sunday. All the awards will be coming out. It's going to be a fun couple weeks here at PLU.
Absolutely. Kellen Westering is not with us today. He is
I'm so sad.
I am too. He's a little banged up. I saw a Snapchat story last night. It looked like he rolled an ankle there pretty good at spring football. Heine, you remember Heine. He was here a couple weeks ago. He's joining us in studio. Heine, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
So, Heine, so I got to ask. Heine, that's not an American name. Heine, that's something different, right? What's your last name?
Alu.
Alu. Okay. So, what nationality, ethnicity? Talk to me here.
I was born in Albania. So
okay, where the heck's Albania?
It's Eastern Europe, right above Greece.
So it's right above Greece. So yeah. What's y'all's claim to fame? What's Albania's claim to fame here?
Our claim to fame is definitely being the bad guys from Taken. It's definitely the Taken movie.
So you guys are the bad guys from Taken. So like when they talk in the movie in their language, can you like understand what they're saying?
Oh, fully. I know exactly what they're thinking. When they're kidnapping the girl, I know what they're saying.
That's crazy. So no subtitles. You can watch that eyes closed and just translate for me.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That's awesome. Liam Neeson, he's one of those actors that are like never allowed to stop acting and never allowed to die.
Yeah.
No, Liam Neeson, Morgan Freeman, Jason Statham, Bruce Willis, those are the guys that are just like are never allowed to go away.
They probably won't. I don't think they will. I want to remind you guys, those who are listening right now, that the stories we'll be talking about today can be found at mastmedia.pou.edu. We want to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. Feel free to call in at any time. The number to call in is 253-535-7332. One more time, that is 253-535-7332. All right, so as Drew mentioned earlier, you know, spring sports are coming to a close here. We have got a couple seasons that have finished. The Northwest Conference Baseball Tournament begins this weekend. POU takes on George Fox a couple hours after this show's over, actually, at 3 p.m. over at Whitworth. Hopefully our friends over there in Spokane can have a live stream ready for us so we can watch the game this afternoon.
Yeah, that's a joke. It really irks me, I'm not going to lie, that Whitworth won every major sport this year. And I'm not saying there's major and minor sports, but the four main college sports, football, basketball, baseball and soccer, Whitworth took first in conference.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was at the Northwest Conference swim meet. I'm pretty sure they were a dominant team there too for the men.
For the women, our women went everything in swimming. Yeah. I don't know who writes those press releases, but I've stopped reading them.
That's what I'm saying.
You turn on, you know what they're going to say. You know they're going to be dominant.
Yeah. So hopefully, like I said, Whitworth get that live stream going so that we could watch our guys take on George Fox later this afternoon at 3 p.m.
Hey, did you hear how that whole tournament shook out, Christian? Did you hear how that all went?
Tell us how it went, Drew.
That whole tournament kind of shook out a little weird, I guess I should say, because we had like three or four teams tied for third, and Linfield was one of them. Okay, and so they had to go, like, you know, and PLU was one of them, and then George Fox was one of them, Pacific was one of them. So all four teams were tied for third. PLU won their game to get in the second. Okay, so then it was between the three teams for third and fourth place. So a couple teams lost and a couple teams won. Anyway, so the record came down to a three-way tie for third and fourth between Linfield, George Fox, and Pacific. And so then once that tie happens, the record for the tie, so like who decided the tiebreaker goes to the record within the game, within the games between those teams. And Linfield had lost the tiebreaker. So poetic justice, Linfield gets knocked out of the Northwest Conference Tournament, even though they won their game, which was a must-win to get in, they still got knocked out. I mean, anytime Whitworth or Linfield gets snubbed, I'm a fan.
That probably counts for Linfield's tough deal of the week.
So yeah, that counts for Linfield's tough deal of the week. So hey, I see I saw the phone flashing. Who called in, Christian?
I'll give you one guess.
Oh, don't tell me it's the hobbled man, the man who's now on the DL.
All right, here he is calling in, getting his 2 cents in. It's Kellen Westring. Kellen, how you doing, man?
Hey guys, I'm on the couch right now. The ankle's elevated.
So what happened? Did you like trip over the 30-yard line? Or
trip
like
over Heine's foot?
Yeah. That's awesome, Drew. You know, I actually tripped over your ego. No, well, first off, this could have been the Kellen flu show, kind of like the Jordan flu game. But I thought, you know what, I didn't want to throw up in studio, and I said, you know what, Heine is definitely the guy that could fill in. He's kind of the Jason Whitlock. Just kidding.
He's more than capable.
No, because you don't want him to be Jason Whitlock, because he'll come in here and start hating on your boy Kobe. Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
That's true. Yeah, we don't mention the name Jason anymore. So I ran a fade on a guy named Cooper Murphy who played DB, went to Olympia High School, and the ball was underthrown. I'm not going to say who threw it, not to throw them under the bus. But the ball was underthrown, and I go up, and I kind of try to go over the top of him, and I just land right on Cooper Murphy's foot, and there goes the ankle. So it's pretty black and blue right now, and I have the flu, and I got a wedding tomorrow. So it's just kind of been a tough deal to listen to you guys.
Can you tell us what number threw the ball? You don't have to say a name. Just tell
us
what number.
Can you just give us a number?
Well, I mean, if anybody's listening, they can look up the roster.
But that's not the point.
Jerseys are different, Kellen. Come on.
They are different, yeah.
All right, it was number 6.
Okay, we'll look for it. Thanks, buddy.
We'll look for it. So Kellen, how are you going to go about, like, you know, dancing and gigging at this wedding here with a messed up ankle and the flu? I'm curious.
Well, that's what's tough is I'm known to be kind of a Vince Vaughn kind of guy. I love weddings. I love love dancing. I love kind of stealing the show. It's interesting because
you wouldn't say.
Yeah, when I went to go get my tux last week, these shoes already aren't comfortable. And so the shoe is going to be interesting. I'll probably have to tape up. I'll probably have to
tape up to go to the wedding. That's awesome.
I might have to double sock. And so we have the rehearsal dinner tonight. And so I'm going to maybe see if I can just wear my black Nike Air Forces that are all black and see if that can kind of be okay with Steven. But if not, I'm going to have to compete.
Hey, can I be your plus one?
Yeah. You want to be his Owen Wilson to his Vince Vaughn?
Sure.
Hey, Kellen, thanks for calling in, bud. We appreciate it. Hey, get better, huh? And stay healthy. We don't need any more injuries from the Westering family in these last 3 months, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. I'll be listening, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. Oh, that's our man, Kellen.
You know, even when he's not here, he still has to come in and try to steal the show for 5 minutes.
He's here. He's in our hearts.
He's here in spirit.
Okay, all right. I thought today that would be, going back to PLU baseball, I thought today would be a good day to look at some of the regular season performances from some of our guys. We'll start with Corey Nelson. He's a starting pitcher. He dominated all year.
Male athlete of the year nominee,
I would put him in there. Absolutely. I would put him in there.
We're not there. Yeah. I know we're not going to talk about that yet. I know that's on the slot for next week, but I think he should be a nominee.
Absolutely. He should be a nominee because Nelson started 11 games for POU. He pitched 73 and a third innings and led the Northwest Conference in earned run average, putting up a 2.32 ERA.
That is, I mean, at the college level, 2.32 is, that's
dealing.
That's dealing. And, you know, it probably tells you why POU's in second place. You know, you have solid pitching. It's you know, it's pretty much over at the college level. If you can at least have 3 or 4 good pitchers, good starting guys who you can rotate in and out, save arms, and you have a decent bullpen, you're tough to compete with at the college level.
Yeah, they've had a 25 run differential since April 1st, and I really think it's due to the pitching.
Absolutely, that's where the defense starts. So you know, you got to give credit to the pitching.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good run here for baseball.
So moving on to the back end of the rotation, not even the rotation, the back end of the bullpen. Garrett Brown has been a lockdown reliever for the Lutes this season.
Who struggled early, by the way.
He had a tough time finding it, but he bounced back. He's a senior. He's been doing it for a long, long time. He led the Northwest Conference in saves this season with 6. And that's getting the job done. That's slamming the door shut.
I mean, he had huge shoes to fill. mm-hmm. and an All-American AJ Konopaski. He had mm-hmm. huge shoes to fill, and he's done it well. I mean, he struggled finding it a little bit at the beginning of the year, but it locked down. I mean, what was the game where he came in with the save and had seven straight strikeouts, just punched out seven dudes in a row and sat down?
I'm not positive, but it could have been Whitworth.
I think, yeah, he came in. They were up by one run. And he comes in, punches out seven dudes, and walks yeah. back to the dugout.
See, now, those listening, you know, you think saves, you think Major League Baseball, that's a one-inning performance. That's not the case here at POU.
Yeah.
Garrett's saves could have been, you know, three innings. You know.
And because Coach Suddy, he doesn't really play righty-lefty that much out of the bullpen.
Just go get the job done,
which is, I mean, there's a lot to be said. I mean, the analytic guys like Billy Bean would scoff at him. I don't really believe in analytics. I mean, I do believe in numbers to never lie, but I don't really believe in the whole analytical portion. I don't play righties-lefties.
That's contradictory in and of itself right there.
Yeah, but I don't play. Who cares about righty-lefties? Who can get guys out? You don't have to be a strikeout pitcher. You have to be a ground ball pitcher.
Go with the numbers.
Go with the numbers.
If the left-handed hitter hits 400 against a right-handed pitcher, but he hits 222 against a left-handed pitcher, who are you going to throw?
I'm going to throw who's ever going to get him out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So the lefty?
Baseball is a crazy sport for
That's
the
fair.
Sole reason that you can go 3-for-10 and be an all-star.
That's fair.
That's 3-for-10 is called good. I mean, if you're hitting, let's not talk about the Mariners who've got like four guys who aren't hitting their weight.
Okay, that was a week ago when we talked about them. All right, they've won two series since then.
You know what?
What? Tell me what.
I'm proud of you. But once again, I will say this until the day we have to go on summer break. There's no reason to talk about any baseball team in an even year except for the Giants, because we know they're going to win it all.
They're not going to win the West this year. The Padres are taking that.
Padres?
Okay, Heine, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to hang your headphones up. I want you to hang your headphones up, push your mic back down, and leave. Just leave. There's
Padres
no
are
way.
It. Padres
California
are
rivalry
it.
In studio today. This is great. I know. You're from California, right? You moved there when you were five, you said earlier, right?
Yeah, I'm from San Diego, California. Yeah.
Drew, you were from San Francisco. Where are
you?
Oh, so from the Bay Area. I was originally born in La Jolla, California. La Jolla, California.
So right by the beach.
I'm right by the beach, so I was born near you down in the SoCal area. But I smartened up and rooted for the NorCal teams.
There it is.
Because the LA Raiders were terrible. Still are terrible. The Chargers are passable at best.
All right, don't get me started on the Chargers.
We can save it for later.
I mean, Philip Rivers is like a B-minus quarterback. Maybe
save it for later. Let's finish up this right, POU baseball stuff. Let's move on to the hitting stats. Across the board.
I just love when the show goes off the rails.
I get it back.
It goes way off
I
your
drive
script,
it back.
And you get so frustrated with us over
That's
here.
Not
like,
what
Come
happens.
On, guys,
That's
get
not
on.
What happens. I drive it back. I steer the ship. We're all right. All right. Let's go
see.
To the hitting stats. When you look at the POU team hitting stats, they're about middle of the row in just about everything. Fourth, fifth, sixth. There's still some standout performances from our guys. Drew Ord, one of your football teammates as well.
He's a beast.
Right? He is a beast.
That should be another nominee for Male Athlete of the Year while we're at it. Two-sport guy?
Absolutely.
And Ben Welch.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ben Welch is very good too. Drew Ord led the team in batting average this season. Ord raked all year long, batting .350, 50 hits on the season. So that's a great year for the left-handed hitting two-sport athlete.
Yeah, I mean, to be a two-sport athlete at the college level is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
agreed.
Sports have changed in the last 5 years. There's no such thing as an off season anymore.
You got to specialize from the time you're 12.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like
you got to pick your two favorites and go for it, right?
Well, I was lucky enough because I was at a smaller school in high school. I was lucky enough to get the chance to play all four while I was in high school.
How'd you play four? There's three seasons.
So I got to play basketball, football, baseball, except for my senior year. They transferred in a kid to play quarterback who is from Texas who ended up signing a Division I scholarship.
So a little bit better than you at that, but that's
just
okay.
A little bit better. Okay. I wasn't a Division I talent.
That's fair.
I have no problem saying that. Kid was 10 times better than me. He deserved to win the job, but I would have liked the chance to compete. I didn't get the chance to compete, so they basically told me they were going to do that. They were going to develop the junior. And I was not going to take snaps. So they sent me, they basically said, have a nice day.
So then you ended up playing soccer.
So I ended up
year?
Starting at keeper my senior year.
That'll work. Yeah. That's fine.
So I got the chance to play all four, but now that's not possible.
No.
Especially if you want to get recruited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
that's what
coaches
saying.
Love to say, he's a three-sport guy, but jack of all trades, master of none.
That's what I'm saying. You got to spell. You got no. That's true. You got to pick by the time you turn 12.
Twelve. I mean,
you got to commit.
I believe your freshman year of high school, you should play three sports.
figured out.
Sophomore year, you whittle it down to two. Junior year, you can still play two. Your senior year, you got to pick. If you want to get recruited, you got to pick.
I think junior year is more important because, like, junior year, that's when you get your film out there. And by senior year, they know your name.
Yeah. So, and then that's where the whole recruiting thing comes in, is that if you're not getting talked to by a Division I program by the time you're a freshman, you're not getting recruited to D1.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's changed now. Everything's changed. There's nobody. There's no hidden talent anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
With Rivals, scouts, YouTube, the internet, Twitter, Facebook. Mm-hmm. There's no hidden talent anymore. So, I mean, unless you're getting recruited from seventh, eighth grade, like basketball guys, you see college recruits, are getting offers at 7th and 8th grade. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So back again off the rails, back to baseball.
Let's wrap it up here with some more POU stats. Brett Johnson also had a good year for the Lutes. He's the outfielder. He plays right field, I believe, pretty much every single game.
Stepped in for Colin there.
Colin Nielsen.
Nielsen last year, big bat. How has he been hitting this year?
Johnson hit .329 on the season and led the team in doubles with 15.
Yep, that's doing your job right there, stepping in for Colin Nielsen, who absolutely raked from right. And, you know, that's a good substitution. I mean, I don't think they're hitting quite as well as they were last year. I mean, last year they went to the conference tournament with no one hitting under .320.
Yeah, that's not the case this year.
The only two guys hitting under, like, .350 who were playing, but... I mean, they're pitching much better.
Yeah.
This year, so it doesn't really matter.
Connor Cantu led the team in triples with 4. He had a slugging percentage of .411, so Connor was spraying the ball all over the park.
Cantu is sweet. Cantu had a sweet freshman campaign, then got the yips and just getting himself behind in counts, and then came back at the end of the year and, you know, took a different approach and made good, and now he's, you know, playing again as a sophomore. I think you're going to see him for 4 years, at least if not in the lineup as a DH, somewhere.
He's going to be crucial moving forward, I feel, for that team.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
Tyler Thompson brought the boom for POU. He led the team with 6 home runs on the year.
First team all-conference.
Thompson can also hit for averages. He batted .308 on the year.
Yeah, first team all-conference, third baseman. Absolutely. We had a first team we had an all-conference infield last year.
Pretty much, yeah.
First team third baseman, first team second baseman. Welch was second team at short. I think Ord was second team at first.
Yeah,
I think we had all-conference infield.
Yeah,
I mean, and you got Konopaski, who's your closer, all-conference. I mean, Curtis Wildung had an argument.
Except
for that one catcher from Whitworth who was batting like .450 coming into the tournament, which is ridiculous. And Kurt was batting like .310 as a catcher. But, I mean, as a catcher, you're hitting .310. Your job isn't to hit the ball. Your job is to play defense.
Yep. So, some standout guys right there for POU. They had great years both offensively and defensively. Hopefully they can get the job done this weekend in the Northwest Conference tournament over there in Spokane, Washington.
It'd be great to see them upset Whitworth.
I would love it. Whitworth's the team to beat in that conference right now. But our guys can get it done.
The best performance I've ever gotten to broadcast, I know you haven't gotten this chance yet. I watched Dan Scheibe of Whitworth last year as a senior throw a no-hitter against Linfield, who was like up there in top 10 in the nation. Mm-hmm. Probably the most exciting game I've ever gotten a broadcast, and there was no offense. Everyone's like, offense sells tickets. No, it doesn't. In baseball, that was cool.
Yeah.
To see a no-hitter is pretty fun.
Yep.
So do we have to go to commercial break now? Or?
Yeah, we're going to take a short break here. But when we come back, we'll be discussing some POU women's rowing. They've been tearing it up lately.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, you got most of the highlights for that.
Uh-huh.
I want to remind you guys that this is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
In baseball, miracles can happen when a team works together.
Two out, bottom of the ninth,
down to their last strike.
The same is true in the fight against cancer. That's why MLB has teamed up with Stand Up to Cancer. Because we believe that when we all stand up together,
41,000 on their feet,
we can make cancer history.
Now everybody's standing.
What a buzz in this building.
This is beyond a dream. Stand up with MLB at standuptocancer.org.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. The show is brought to you by Mast Media on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call in, the number to do so is 253-535-7332. One more time, that number is 253-535-7332. Drew, you got some rowing highlights for us, don't you?
Yeah, I got some rowing highlights for you, and I swear if Kellen calls in again, after you say the number, I'm going to freak out. If he calls in again, just hang up.
We know he misses us.
I know. He wants to be on the show bad.
Nah. He'll be back.
He'll be back. Okay. So why don't we just start out talking about rowing. Like, I don't know. We did Boys in the Boat. The men's basketball team read the book The Boys in the Boat, which is about the UW rowing team that won the Olympics in Germany back during World War II. And so the men's basketball, so Coach Dickerson had this great idea that he should put our men's basketball team out in boats and row with the women's rowing team under the supervision of Coach Andy Foltz. And let's just say it was the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. People ask, well, what kind of athletes are rowers? Elite athletes. Mm-hmm. I've played pretty much every sport ever at least once. At least one time I pretty much tried everything. And rowing was the first time I've tried, and I've not been able to do it. Like, not even been able to possibly compete at all, or just the simplest fundamental motions have not been able to do. It is that hard. And if anyone wants to say, no, it's not, Coach Andy Foltz will take you out and put you in a boat and show you it's that hard. Because us basketball guys are like, yeah, we're pretty good athletes. Like, we'll figure it out. Mm-mm, no way. It's that hard.
So what was sore on you after that experience?
Everything. Because it's muscles you never use.
Right.
So basically you have to push off. Okay. So all quads and hamstrings. Okay. Then you have to row the oar back to you. Okay. So just like the row machine and thing. And then you have to push it forward, pull yourself back up, row again, push it forward. All in unit. So you have to, and it's all in like unison together, but it's every other person on the sides of the boat. So it's this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And then to turn, like only the back two people can row. It's crazy. And so you have a person who sits at the front and screams and yells at you what to do. And if you screw up, they scream and yell at you more. I was messing up a lot. I caught what they called what's called an ejector crab. So what happens is, so you're rowing, right? And you're out of sync, so your oar gets caught in the wake. And what happens is you get caught in the wake and it goes under the boat. And then you go up on the oar and you get thrown into the water. I did not get tossed in the water, but...
You just about did.
I just Almost. About did. Like, there was like me, Kyle Sautel, Garth... We all Garth.
How'd
West.
You get Garth in a boat?
That was crazy. But we all caught a few ejector
Garth's
crabs.
It
was not fun. Anyways, so the women's rowing team, bunch of great athletes. But let me read you here some of the highlights, because I play on the intramural softball team with Coach Andy Foltz, who is the best pitcher in our intramural league.
Best softball pitcher. Best softball slow pitch pitcher. Softball. Right?
Yeah,
has he thrown a no hitter?
no, but he strikes people out in intramural softball.
Oh, the game that's built to hit.
Yeah, he strikes people out. We call him the Candy Man.
Because he's sweet?
Because he, yeah. There you go. All right, so let me read you this. So first off, they have a 3.5 average team GPA. And, you know, Heine first said, well, how many women they have on the team? And I was like, 32. He's like, that's crazy. That's for crazy. Them to be a 3.5. I mean, for football, it's harder. You have 110 dudes on the team. Yeah. Half of them are on the defense. And I always say about the defensive linemen, the defense, everyone but the middle linebacker and the free safety, those are the guys, everyone else on the defense, those are the guys that can rip a refrigerator apart. The O-lineman, the quarterback, those are the guys who can tell you how to put it back together piece by piece. And you guys look very defense heavy at this point.
Wow. I think it's because we had a lot of freshmen too, and it was hard.
Well, it's hard for the first adjustment to college is hard. Yeah. I'll tell you that as a freshman. My GPA is my first semester here as a freshman was not very good. And then I finally figured it out because it's hard to do. So two people on the team have 4.0s, and 95% of the team is above a 3.2. So there are 32 people on this roster, as I said, 32 women, and 32 are walk-ons. 31 of them did not know how to row before they came to POU. Okay, six seniors, five or four-year athletes, 16 current athletes are freshmen. The first varsity eight, so that's eight people in a boat. That's why I say the first varsity eight. So it's like you have the teams like 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. Okay, so the first varsity eight has two freshmen in it. The second varsity eight is composed of six freshmen and three sophomores. Okay, seven current members of the team broke into or moved further up on the all-time top 20 times here at POU, and two of them are freshmen. First freshman team set the new all-time record this fall for the fastest 6K time. The varsity eight and the second varsity eight are undefeated against D3 opponents this year. Mind you, they're all walk-ons, and the second boat is composed of all underclassmen. Man. Okay. The closest margin to the first varsity eight is 6 seconds, which in rowing is an eternity.
So they've beaten everybody. They're undefeated against D3 schools, and they've beaten everybody by 6 seconds.
They are ranked 10th by the coaches' poll, and they are number one in the Western region.
Wow. Region, not the Northwest Conference.
The West region.
The region.
They will need to continue to be ranked number one to go to the NCAA tournament. The last time POU was sent to the NCAA tournament was in 2002 after Willamette declined the bid to go.
So they've never
outrightly gotten the bid.
They've never won into it.
Yes. The Varsity 8 posted a time of 6 minutes 50.3 seconds, and has the fastest women's varsity time in POU history.
It's ridiculous.
And furthermore, just the icing on the cake of this like huge season here for Andy Foltz and the women's rowing team. They won the Lambert Cup. That's the rivalry duel against UPS. And that was the first time they've won it in 13 years.
Jeez.
So, I mean, I don't know if you guys know anything about UPS rowing, but they're usually pretty dominant
in the D3 space.
Yeah, Puget Sound right next to them. Hopefully they are.
Hey, that's good geography there, Heine. I like that.
Thank you.
But if they haven't lost that cup in 13 years.
And they also they were swept in the eights that day by both the upperclassmen and the underclassmen boat.
That's just ridiculous.
That is crazy.
Drew, you were part of one record-setting game this season.
Oh, God. To call that a game.
Yes,
can
I
we
get
just,
it.
Can we talk about it? Are we allowed to talk about that game?
We can talk about it a little bit, but I want to try and relate it back to, you know, what it's like to break records. Sorry. You did it one time.
What do you mean?
Right?
Yeah.
You played that team and you put, like, what'd you put up, 158 points? What was it?
It's like 160-something. It was bad.
See, that's a school record. It doesn't matter. Those of us that were there on that lovely Tuesday night.
Can I just help out here really quick so everyone can, like, how did the PLU men's basketball team score 168 points in a game? Can I just give a little background?
Please.
So
Heine doesn't get it. He's like, how?
We were playing Northwest Indian College.
Right.
Who is an NAIA affiliate. And they came to town. It was a setup game by one of our coaches. And they came, and so we get out there to warm up 20 minutes before game time, okay?
Per usual.
They're not there, okay? Game time rolls around. They're still not there. So we go back to the locker room, and we wait. A half an hour past game time, Northwest Indian College shows up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Hold on. 30 minutes past game time, Northwest Indian College shows up.
Man, traffic was bad or something. I don't know.
Okay. So then, and we asked them. Like, it's like, no, this is every game for us. So, they come in. They get like 5-10 minutes to warm up and whatever, and we're warmed up at this point. And we come out. I think we start the game on like a 28-2 run. And their biggest guy was my height, and I'm 6'2".
Right.
So you can just do the math what Bryce Miller did that night. I mean, to score 168 points is ridiculous.
Here's the angle that I was going with that. End of the day, you were a part of the record-setting team.
Best record in 50 years, most points ever scored in a half, highest three-point percentage, first team to go to the national championship, not the national championship, the Northwest Conference championship since like the
98, something like that.
It'd been a while. It'd been a long time since we'd been in that tournament.
Right.
So we were part of like a record. It was a record-setting season for men's basketball.
So try and relate that. How does that make an athlete feel? What is, you know, what related to the women? How do you think that they're feeling right now?
Confident, pretty in command. I relate it all the time. It's just like if you go into an event and you know you're not going to lose, that's pretty hard to beat. Like, I equate it to, like, we went in to Whitman, and we just decided that we weren't going to lose that game.
That's fair.
Because we felt we were better than them. Mind you, we beat them twice, and they still got to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament, and we didn't get a bid. But that's not the point. The point is that when you can, if like the women can walk into a regatta and know they're not going to lose to UPS, who's beat them in the last 13 years, that's pretty big.
Right.
I mean, that's dominance. And, you know, especially like, and they weren't picked to finish high, and neither were we. They weren't picked to be up here at the top, and we were picked to finish seventh out of the eight teams for men's basketball. Seventh. And we took second.
Not a bullet.
So, I mean, that just tells you what rankings say. I mean, it tells you what numbers say. I mean, you got to go play the game. Have to go play the game.
Right. So maybe, Heine, you could speak on this a little bit. The discipline it takes. Like Drew said, they walk in, they know that they're going to win. But what kind of, you know, discipline does it take as an athlete to consistently work hard in the weight room, consistently go out and try and do your best and try and beat what you've done before? What kind of discipline does that take?
The saying is like, the enemy of perfection is progress.
Yep.
So I feel like you need to have that confidence, but to always keep working out harder, because like if you're not working harder, the guy behind you is working harder than right. you. So like you can never get complacent. But like one question I have for Drew is, even though you guys did break the record, how did you guys feel, even though it was like a subpar opponent? Like, were you guys still excited that you guys broke the record?
We had fun. Like, it
was should have.
Which we should have. It wasn't a game where we were like, oh my gosh, we're going for the record. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, oh my gosh, they can't stop us. and the hoop looks as big as the hoop looks as big as the Puget Sound. We could just chuck the ball and it would go in. I mean, it was just one of those nights. And so, like, it was just fun. You know, what I equate it to, like, this is a perfect example now to take it nationally, is the Warriors. You win the NBA championship. And then you turn around and you set the record for regular season wins. Beat the Bulls. I mean, that's the definition of discipline. And strength in numbers, as they say. Strength in numbers. They turn it around. And the women's rowing team showed the same thing. They have young women on that team. Young women. And they're being dominant. And that's got to be good, because they're going to have 3-4 years to be that dominant. Mm-hmm. If I was Coach Andy Foltz, I'd be pumped. They're
very happy.
Fun.
Very happy with the next 3 years. Foundation lead. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got anything more to add on this?
On the women's rowing? I mean, I hope they make the NCAAs and go make a run at this thing.
What's next for them right now? Do you know off the top of your head, Drew?
No, I do not know off the top of my head what's next for them.
Check out golutes.com to find out all the information you need about women's rowing.
Sweet,
see what's going on next.
Shameless plug.
If you can get if you can get out there and see women's rowing, Drew just listed off all the stats. They're good in the classroom. And they're really good on the water, so go check them out.
I mean, they were losing to D1 teams by like D1 rowers by like 5 and 6 seconds. D1 programs, and this is a D3 program. If you can say that, I mean, that's like us in basketball losing to
Portland State. You guys
Portland State or UW or Washington State or Central, those guys, by like 8 or 10 points.
Yeah, 10-15. Yeah.
Yeah, that's called showing. Competing.
Yes.
Yep. So are we about to go to a break here, Christian?
We're
going
to take a quick break. When we come back, I have a feeling about intramural sports here at POU.
Oh, no.
I do. I truly do. Find out, you know, what my thoughts are and see if your thoughts differ when we come back on Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes.
You can use the word competitor. You can call them your friends or an inspiration. A brother, a hero, a mentor, a son. A teammate, a winner, a daughter, an athlete, a classmate, a worker, a runner, a leader. A human being. You can use a lot of words to describe people with intellectual disabilities, but retarded isn't one of them. Let's commit to ban the R word. Special Olympics, be a fan.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is brought to you by Mast Media on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call in to the show, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, the number to call into the show is 253-535-7332.
So, Heine, get ready. Get your violin out to play Cry Me a River when Christian starts. You ready?
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, Christian.
That is not
go ahead, Christian.
That is not fair.
I'm ready, Christian. Go ahead. Here I am. I need the live stream. Me and Kellen are on board for the live stream. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's just a thought. It's really, you know. Okay. All right. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
I'll just play my violin over here.
I don't even
want to
talk about it anymore. You guys got anything else you guys want to talk about?
Go ahead. No, let's hear it. I want to hear your thoughts.
All right. So
about intramurals.
You know, intramurals here at POU, they're open to anyone. Right? They are.
Unless it is your sport. You cannot compete in a intramural game that's your sport.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to speak for the common people, the half athletes of the world, that, you know, not super serious about, you know, playing some 4-on-4 basketball, just want to go around, chuck threes up, maybe do a couple of sweet butter rolls, you know, get it all in,
When he says butter roll, for you true basketball fans out there, he means finger roll.
It's smooth like butter. It's a butter roll.
Okay, so continue. I'm sorry.
All right. I hope that Rob Thompson, whoever else is in charge of intramurals.
It's Rob.
It's Rob.
And Rob and he does a
Rob
great
and Associates.
Job. And he does a great job.
He does a very good job. But I believe that there should be two separate leagues for intramurals. One for the athlete and one for the half athletes. Do you two athletes have thoughts on that?
I'll let Drew go first.
I mean, usually, I'm saying usually, like us basketball guys, we play softball.
Okay,
that's a completely different sport.
That's not the one I'm talking about, though.
But that's a completely different sport.
Right.
Okay, so, and it's tough to field a team of 11 at a school this small on your own and satisfy the female requirement. You know what I mean?
That's
fine. It's tough for flag football to field a team of 8 or 9 and fulfill the female requirement, because if you don't have a female on your team for flag football, you give up 8 points a half. It's a 16-point advantage before the ball snapped. You know that, right? In flag football.
Yeah, that's
so it's
fair.
Tough to field a team that way too, especially if you're going to do it in two different leagues. So for me, it's like, okay, once I graduate and I'm no longer in basketball season, yes, I can play intramural basketball.
So you're going to play spring basketball then next
technically,
year?
Technically, no, I will not.
But you got buddies doing it right now though, right?
But I got seniors on this team who are doing it. And I know that they're also playing on a spring volleyball team who has women's volleyball players on it, or former women's volleyball player on it by rule. But technically, they're not breaking any rules.
They're not breaking any rules.
They're just winning.
But should there be two leagues?
No.
No.
Why not? Why not, Heine?
Well, first, I know kids at the school and even back home who don't play sports but are way more athletic than the kids who play sports at this school.
Correct.
So
that's fair.
Because we've all seen my athletic ability. I'm not that athletic.
No.
I just...
But you do it.
But I do it. I play smart, but I mean, I'm not going to wow anybody with my speed and vertical. I mean, Christian, you announced our basketball games. I mean, I'm not fast.
Yeah.
I don't jump high. I score with my head. That's about it. Good defense with my head.
Yep.
I mean, it's between the ears for me. I mean, I just don't, you know, I don't, you know, you're classifying as, you know, half athletes, but I have track guys on my flag football team. Two of them. You know what we do? You snap the ball and they run as fast as they can. I throw them the ball. But then you have guys who were varsity, 4-year varsity players in high school who just didn't play football here, and they'll compete with us.
Exactly. And if you have a team full of athletes who are playing sports here at PLU, that does not mean your team's going to be good.
And not only that, does not mean that they can show up, because our flag football team for the last like 3 years, I play with all the softball girls, and we pick up like 2 track guys. We pick up Sean, who runs the 4x100, and we pick up Nacho, who's another 4x100 guy. And we pick up those 2 guys. And however, once I go to basketball and basketball practice starts, basketball practice in the middle of intramural football games, they lose me. And we end up losing every year. We've lost in the finals every year because I've had to go to basketball.
How many of the common people do you pick up for those teams?
The common people? Well, I pick up all. I play with 6 women. I play with 6 women softball players.
Right.
And 2 track athletes.
Right.
That's it.
Right. So what happens if I get a bunch of my rider friends together and go out and make a team? We get smashed.
With that outlook, you will. But
with
like,
that outlook,
we did.
You will.
We
but
did. Last year, wide-eyed
teams
freshman.
Look at me, teams look at me with 6 women and laugh at me. They laugh at me, but they don't understand that all 6 of my women are all athletes. They can all run, and they can all catch because they play softball, and I pick outfielders because I'm
See, that's
we're
not the angle I'm coming from. That's not the
GM
angle
right
I'm coming
there.
From.
Yeah, that's just
GM.
Smart. I have a center fielder, a right fielder, a left fielder, a shortstop, and their backup right fielder, who is their first pinch runner. So I have all women who can run, all women who can catch. And I pick 2 track athletes to throw the ball deep when I want to, but besides that, So you want every athlete who plays intramurals to have their own league?
Sure.
So how are you going to fill out the rest of those teams? What, are you going to have 3 teams in the air league? Because this school is what? I'm going to say what, 70% athlete? 60% athlete?
Okay.
So you're eliminating half the student body from your league. And you have to think of the other half who go here just for school, don't do intramurals, take 20 credits, and are here to get
Do you think more of those people would play intramurals?
No.
If there was a level playing field.
No, because Christian, you're a rare breed.
Of what?
Of a non-athlete who is a diehard sport fan. Diehard. There's not many guys who don't play sports at all. At all. And just want to coach and talk about them. Right. There's not many. For all the look at all the ESPN guys, Christian. Think of all the ESPN guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think of all the ESPN guys. And out of all of the ESPN dudes, they half of them. Well, half. Time out. More than half of them are former NFL players, mm-hmm. football players, basketball players. I mean, look at the playoff crew. You have Charles Barkley, former NBA player. You have Kenny, former NBA player. Yeah. You have
Reggie Miller,
former NBA player. Chris Webber, former NBA player. I mean, you're a rare breed, Christian, to be honest. Well, and I have a ton of respect for you rare breed.
But if Jake, Bill, you and I get together, Jake, another writer for GoLutes.com, and we find a couple.
Who's a good athlete?
He is.
Not a bad athlete.
He is. But if we find a couple of friends that, you know, they're just people, and we go out and we're talking from experience. Jake and I did this last year. We got beat in basketball we had two teams score 100 on us. We had no idea that was going to be the case. We thought we were just going to mess around and play basketball on Tuesday and Sunday night.
No, they take it serious.
It's best legit. Thing that's the thing.
Intramurals is competitive here.
That's the thing. So should there be two different leagues? Finally what I'm getting at.
No.
Should there be one league that's full? If you're here to compete, this is the league you get into. If you're here to mess around and have fun, here's this league.
No, because why here's not? The deal. Because you know what's going to happen? Because guys like uber competitive guys.
Guys like you would do this. You're sitting here with a grin on your face. Truly, I know where you're going.
Yours truly would pick up three or four other dudes who are like you, and I'd go into that league to have fun, and I'd mess around and drop 50.
Yeah.
And win. And everyone would be upset with me. But I'm on a team with the majority of my guys are just there to have fun, who we wouldn't even be competitive in the next league, but we could come dominate your league. You know what I mean?
And the problem with that is, like, are you not going to let the kids who don't play sports compete in the really competitive league
just because they don't play sports?
Yeah. What if they don't want to, though? What if they truly, Tuesday, Sunday night, we want to mess around and go play basketball?
Well, there's also kids that want to mess around who play sports. Like, I got a couple of friends on the football team who just play basketball. Who play
real basketball, yeah.
Just to shoot
the ball. I play with them sometimes in Memorial. Like, yeah. They'll text me or whatever, hey, you guys want to go play fives? Ask a couple of basketball guys just to come and, you know, for numbers and make the run a little bit more competitive. Yeah, we'll go do it, no problem. You know, there's not a guy on this basketball team.
I have 1893.
There's not a guy on this basketball team who will turn down free basketball.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just a chance to go run. We're all addicted to it. It's why we're all D3 athletes. We ain't getting paid. We don't have full ride scholarships. We're addicted to the sport.
All right. So I guess the consensus is that
you're crazy.
If I want to play intramurals again, I got to step my game up tremendously.
Just be a better GM.
Just pick better, make better friends.
No, it's not
dump Jake Bilyeu. Sorry, Jake, you're
not
gone.
Not make better. No, Jake Bilyeu's good and he's tall. No, just you know you need to go. You need to go network and draft.
And Moneyball. You got to use it now.
you got to go get your analytics on. You're a numbers guy. You got to get your stuff on over there. Come on. You're a smart kid. You're a smart kid. You're a good sports writer. You get to write about every sport on campus. I have my full confidence that you could field a very competitive intramural team.
We'll figure it out.
Are you done complaining?
I wasn't even complaining. That was just a thought. That's not even fair. We're done talking about it. Let's see if this even makes the podcast. I might just cut this whole thing out.
I want to see. I want to show this. I wanted to go on the podcast. I want to show it to Rob.
Yeah, Rob might never get to hear it.
I want to show it to Rob. I'd be interested.
You
to
can
hear
do the
Rob's
podcast
take.
Then for a change. I'll back off.
To hear Rob's take.
Let's see. We'll see. I don't know.
What's our next segment, by the way?
Tough deals of the week.
Ah.
Tough deals of the week coming up. Hey. There was a little bit of an incident with Russell Westbrook and Cameron Payne getting ready for the game. Playoff game in Oklahoma City. We're going to talk about dancing in sports. Should it be there? Should it not be there?
Is this showboating in general or just dancing?
We'll get there. Okay. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Stay tuned.